Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by ColorCast. Guys, ColorCast is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time, and it's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app free in the iOS app store, create a profile, and link your Twitter and join a group. Follow me at BTU Larry to be notified when my room goes live, and we'll be going live on ColorCast every Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Come and join the spiciest takes. Come find the new home for Club 34-7. This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or in social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in Sports Drink, spelled like Sports Drink but without the vowel. So S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let out the funk. What's up, guys? Without further delay, we have finally the 2022 NFL schedule, and it's about time. I don't remember when it was that it changed, because we were, you know, traditionally you get the schedule about 2 weeks before the draft, so that basically, you can kind of start. It was actually probably more of a tool for the broadcasters than anything else, that they would be able to say, like, oh well, this is when number one pick, Trayvon Young, I think, was the number one pick. The first time that he'll face so-and-so in his division will be week number five or whatever. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's been pushed back into mid-May now, because it was just released on Thursday on the 12th. What you're going to hear is the live show from ColorCast on Friday the 13th, where I, shared it with the world, where I broke down the schedule and all that kind of stuff. Be sure to join us on ColorCast every Friday for Club 34-7, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, each and every Friday on the ColorCast app to join in on the discussion. Basically, it's a chance for you to, like, be my co-host if you want to contribute to the show, ask questions, talk about the topic, or hell, change the topic if you want. Let's see what we can do there. But, I'm a big movie guy. I love the MCU and all that kind of stuff. So, throw it all out there. The new Obi-Wan series is coming in a couple of weeks on Disney Plus. And I don't know, man. Just for my money, the TV series are better than any movie that they've ever done. I don't care what anybody says. Just the TV series gives them more time to flesh out the characters and whatnot. I'm a bigger fan of The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett and whatnot than I am of anything, of any movie that they put out. And I like the movies. I've always been a fan, but they don't hold a candle to the TV shows, not even for a second. So talk about that with me, because we're in that dead period now, between the, between draft, the schedule release. And now it's a vast valley of nothingness between now and the start of training camp, which doesn't come until the end of July. And maybe it's a week earlier for the Bears because we have a new head coach and everything this year, but that's still 2.5 months away. And I know that's, 2.5 months, you blink an eye and it's here, but still, that's 10 weeks that we got to get through. And it's going to be a long-ass 10 weeks. You guys know how the summer likes to drag itself out when we're all waiting for football season to start. So anyway, I broke down the schedule. One thing I wanted to do was I forgot to actually break down the preseason schedule. It was also announced along with the regular season schedule. Three games per the new usual. Now that we have nine home games, there's only one home game for the preseason this year, and that is the opening matchup of preseason. We'll start at home Saturday, August 13th against the Chiefs. That'll be a 7 o'clock, a noon kickoff. My mistake, looking at the wrong one. Then we're on the road for the last 2 weeks of the preseason. Quick turnaround for the Bears as they play on Thursday night, August 18th at Seattle. I'm not sure where we'll catch that. I'm sure it'll be some kind of local channel or something like that. Maybe you can catch it on the NFL Network, something like that. And then fast forward to the following Saturday, August the 27th, on the road at the Cleveland Browns. So I guess maybe we're starting that tradition up again, finishing the preseason with the Browns. But that's it. We're home for the Chiefs, on the road for the Seahawks, on the road for the Browns. That is your 2022 preseason. So, and with the three games, and we got a new coaching staff, I'm very interested to see how much our guys play in the preseason this year. With a new head coach, new offensive system, a lot of new guys on the team, I think that, you know, that Eberflus and company would take advantage of the opportunity to get these guys some reps, not just the backups who are trying to make the team, but the starters as well. You know, get some live action against some of your against guys that are not wearing your uniform and that you're not going to take it easy on, and things like that. So very interested to see how the preseason shakes out for the Bears, because we all know that Matt Nagy treated the preseason like it was the plague. He just, you know, wanted to get rid of it as quickly as humanly possible. None of the starters did anything with it or anything like that, especially to our detriment last year when, you know, like I said, I'll go to my grave saying that that Andy Dalton, God bless him, never got a fair shake. You know, number one, we were all way more excited about Justin Fields than we were about Andy Dalton. And, you know, Andy Dalton was out there playing with our fifth, sixth, and seventh receivers, and maybe one of the five guys that was going to be blocking for him week one was out there on the field with him and everything. It wasn't a good look for him. He wasn't out there with anybody that he played with week one against the Rams. It was a disaster. So, but Matt Nagy is no longer at the helm. Therefore, it seems like what Eberflus and Getsy and Williams and all those guys will be do is using common sense and logic in order to build our football team and get them ready for week one when we start off at home against the 49ers. But we'll talk more about that here as we break down the schedule. And I'm excited. I mean, this is kind of like you know, almost it's like day one of the 2022 season, because now it's real. We have a schedule now. We know who we're playing. I mean, we've known since the end of last season who we were playing. We've known where we were playing them, but not when and in what order. So here it is. It's all laid out. So without further ado, here is the 2022 preview of the schedule. I'm so excited.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
excited I even bungled how I wanted to say that. But it's the 2022 NFL schedule preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the
dial tone ringing out loud and I don't know. The path to Super Bowl 57 has been laid out by the NFL with the release of the 2022 schedule. What's going on, everybody? Larry D back for the 2022 schedule release episode of the Bears Talk Underground. And here we are talking about what it's going to take for the Bears to get anywhere this year. I mean, there's so much talk about what they will and won't be able to do this year with the new coaching staff. And a lot of people, I think, are still – that's the one thing that's tricky about the beginning of every new season is that you're looking at it through the lens of last year. And not only is it a brand new season, but everything else basically is brand new. We've got a brand new general manager, a new head coach, brand new coordinators. We're going to be putting a brand new offense and defense out onto the field. There's going to be a lot of new faces out there. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean that they're going to be worse than they were last year. I mean, think about what happened last season. We managed to win 6 games when we basically had no offense to speak of. We were averaging maybe 16 points a game. And there were actually a few games in there that we should have won on top of the ones that we already did. So everybody, I think, can agree that Matt Nagy is addition by subtraction. Getting him out of there gets his non-cohesive, scatterbrained offense out of there as well. It also gets his stubborn way of thinking, the my way or the highway thing, with running his offense as opposed to running what best suits the personnel he has on his football team. And, you know, we'll see where we go from here. Because, I mean, what we're hearing from Luke Getsy, what we're hearing from Eberflus and from Ryan Poles and Alan Williams, our new defensive coordinator and everything, is that they're going to tailor this so that we're running at our best at all times, which means that we're going to be running an offense, we're going to be running a defense that best suits the talent of the guys that we have on the roster right now. You know, and so at the very least, we should be far more efficient. And if we play, and because Eberflus is a disciple of Rod Marinelli, who is basically a disciple of Lovie Smith, we should be a lot more disciplined. We should be more high effort. And I think that's just going to make us a better football team across the board. Now, will that translate into wins and losses? That remains to be seen. But this year's schedule is the 8th easiest schedule in the NFL this year. No road games in December because in the month of December, we have 3 home games and our bye week. We don't have a bye week till week 14 this year. 3 primetime games all before week 8. So the last 10 games of the season are basically all noon games except for maybe the week 18 matchup, which is right now to be determined because that's when, you know, they determine who's going to play when it, based on who may or may not make the playoffs kind of thing. But, 3 primetime games, 1 on Thursday night, 1 on Sunday Night Football, 1 on Monday night. Everything else is CBS or Fox, which for me as a football fan, the Bears kicking off at noon on Sunday, that's how I like to get down. There are no 3 o'clock games on the schedule because we don't have any West Coast teams, or at the very least, we don't have any West Coast road trips. Now, that's not to say the NFL won't flex those at some point to this is more of a marquee matchup, so we're going to move this from noon to 3 o'clock, and it'll be the Fox game of the week or something like that. But right now, that's not the case. But we start the year with the 49ers. Week 1, and we'll get more into the schedule here in just a minute. It's only the 3rd time in, I think, the history of the series that the Bears are meeting the 49ers week 1. It's been the first time since 2003, which was a wretched 49-7 loss, which was, I don't know how many of you remember that game, but I was really looking forward to it. It was the first year of the Cordell Stewart era. I was very excited when the Bears got him
after watching, you know, Jim Miller, God bless him. He got us to the playoffs in 2001, but he was a cement shoes, no agility guy in the backfield. And we did not have a very good offensive line at the time. So getting Cordell Stewart, who could create things with his feet, I was very excited about the possibility of what he could do for the offense. And yeah, that didn't work out at all. So, you know, starting with the first game of the year where we lost 49-7. And thankfully, I did not get to watch that game because I remember very vividly that was the first weekend of my softball league, believe it or not. So I was actually listening to the game on the radio between innings. Like when my team was up to bat, I'd be sitting on the bench listening to the Bears get murdered. And every time I came back to the bench, the Bears had given up another touchdown, whether it be I think there were a couple of pick sixes or whatever it was, but the Bears got absolutely shredded in that game. But that was also in San Francisco, and this one will be in Soldier Field. Only one road game after Thanksgiving, which is pretty crazy. The Week 17 against the Lions is the last, is that one road game. And we're not alternating like we did last year, where it was away, home, all the way down the schedule. That's not happening this season. So, you know, that's kind of how it starts off. It's home, away, home, but then you have two road. Then the next four out of the next five are road games. We're away, away, home, away, away before we start packing on those, you know, those home games there. From week nine through the end of the season, we have one, two, three, four, five, six of those last eight games. Six of those last nine games are home games. So it's a home heavy schedule on the back end. And, what else? What other notes do I have here? No alternating games like we had last year. Three primetime games. AFC East, NFC East, NFC North times two, obviously. San Francisco, Houston, and Atlanta are our same place opponents. So let's dive into the schedule here. As I said, week one, we start at home this time. The last 2 years, we've been out on the road for the first game of the year, but we're home for the 49ers. That's one of our same place opponents, having both finished third in our division a year ago. So home for the Bears, or home for the 49ers. That's a noon Fox game. And then week two, throwing Eberflus and company right into the fire. Sunday night football on the road at Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers. And talk about an early measuring stick. I mean, granted, playing the 49ers, who were a few plays away from the Super Bowl last year, is an excellent measuring stick for the Bears. But, you know, a big measuring stick that really counts as far as, you know, who we're really measuring up against. Week number two, Sunday night football at Lambeau, because NBC cannot put the Bears and Packers, you know, because NBC is, I guess, contractually obligated to only hold the Bears-Packers games at night. So it's only happened, I think, once in the last, like, 15 years or something like that, that the Bears and Packers have played a day game in Lambeau. And it was 2019, a couple of years ago. The one where I think it was Jesper Horsted or something like that. We were doing one of those crazy, you know, schoolyard plays because we were down by eight or something. And if Horsted had pitched the ball, I think, to Cohen or Cordell Patterson, it would have turned into a touchdown that we would have been able to go for two and try to tie the game. But didn't work out that way. But, you know, the Packers have swept the series since 2019, because we split the series. We lost week one in Lambeau. We won, I think, week 15 at home in Chicago, and to win the division in 2018, actually. But, you know, in 2019, we were swept by Green Bay, and obviously last year, and then 2020, 2021, all swept. So it's, you know, six wins in a row at least for the Packers, and I'm sure that the numbers get uglier as we go further and further back, because I think 2017 were sweeps, 2016 were sweeps. Yeah, 2015 was when John Fox took the Bears up there to Thanksgiving on Brett Favre jersey retirement night and stole a victory from the Packers that year. Man, that was a sweet win. That was a sweet win to be able to pull that one out. But, you know, this will be the first matchup, the first divisional game for Matt Eberflus on the road at the Packers. Same as it was for Nagy, but Nagy had to do it week one against the Packers. Eberflus at least gets to open up his Bear tenure at home against the 49ers the week before. So we'll see how it looks. One thing I'm not going to do here, guys, is break down wins and losses. That is absolutely madness to try to do at this point in time. I think the only time that I'll probably do that will be somewhere around when Lauren Cox and I get together right before training camp, like right around preseason, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's as close as I'll get to making any kind of wins and losses prediction, because at this time of year, you can talk yourself into anything as far as trying to justify wins and losses. I will say this, though. Ever since the schedule came out yesterday, I haven't seen much optimism from Bears Twitter or anybody else online, for that matter. Again, like I said at the top of the show, one of the tricky things about looking at a new season is trying to look at it through, is that we're most of us are guilty of looking at it through the lens of last season, thinking about all the things that went wrong and how poorly we played and all that kind of stuff. And also having the thought of new coaching, new general manager, being a reason to drop teams down a peg or two. So, you know, how many times have we seen a new coach and a new general manager come in and have a successful opening year? Hell, we saw it happen 4 years ago when Matt Nagy came in with new coordinators and, you know, a new offense and brought in a bunch of new players and everything. Granted, we still had our general manager in place at the time, but it was a brand new head coach. It was supposed to be a new start for the Bears and all that kind of stuff, and we went 12-4 in one division. So I'm just hoping that if Eberflus can manage to pull that off in 2022, that 2023 and the years that follow aren't let down disappointments that suck the life out of us all. Because anybody who's been with me for a while, or at least in the last 5 years, knows how soul-crushing watching 2019 go down was for me personally. Like, it was one of those years. It doesn't happen very often, even when the Bears don't play well. But it was one of those years where I couldn't wait for the year to be done. Like, I really just wanted the year to be over with, because the expectations going into 2019 were so high. And we were legitimately excited. And, you know, many people supported, you know, were thinking the Bears were going to be one of those top teams and all that kind of stuff. And it all started week one against the Packers and that loss on Thursday Night Football to kick off the 100th season of the NFL. And it was like Mitch lost his mojo that day, and it was all downhill from there. You know, we went 8-8, and we were lucky to be that way. Anybody who remembers listening to me talk about the games back then was like, we had like two or three really nice wins and then a handful of yeah, but wins. Like, yeah, the Bears won, but there was this. Yeah, the Bears won, but there was that, like that game against the Broncos week number two, where we went down there and we beat Vic Fangio in his first home game with Denver. Yeah, we beat the Broncos, but that roughing the quarterback call that gave the Bears that free 15 yards, that was bogus. You know, without that, we don't win the game. You know, things like that. And it's just, it was a bunch of victories like that, aside from two really good-looking wins, one of which was against the, like, week four against the Vikings. That was a solid, solid win for the Bears. And there was another one later on that year that I'm forgetting about. But overall, 2019 was a huge disappointment, and yeah, it was just like one of those years I just could not wait for it to be over. So, but here we are with this brand new beginning in 2022, and you know, there's I just wish that people were looking at this more with a more positive, having more of a positive outlook than letting last year and Nagy's failure and everything taint their outlook on 2022. You know, I'm not saying you have to drink the Kool-Aid and say the Bears are going to go 12-5 and that's how much of a difference Matt Nagy not being here is going to make. But everybody's still sour on Justin Fields, or at least pessimistic about him. No, nobody really believes, you know, because also everybody at the same time keeps forgetting how detrimental Nagy and his offensive philosophy, if he even has one, were to Justin Fields. Last year, there was no cohesion to the offense. The plays didn't build on one another. He was just randomly calling shit out there. Just, you know, we all forget how much that hurt his development. And we also seem to forget that literally from week three, his very first start against the Cleveland Browns, everybody said, start, you know, from Bear fans all the way up to like Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, you can just write off this year right now. Because if this is how Matt Nagy is going to coach this kid, he's not going to learn a thing, and the Bears will be starting over fresh next year with a brand-new coach and staff in 2022. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened, only everybody seems to forget that we all kind of agreed that we just wanted to get Justin Fields through this season so we get him in better hands in 2022. We succeeded. You know, he missed some games because he was banged up and all that kind of stuff, but everything that we're hearing out of the camp right now sounds fantastic. Luke Getsy couldn't speak highly enough of Justin Fields and the progress that he's made in learning the offense and commanding the offense in the voluntary workouts and the OTAs that we've had thus far. And, you know, it's something that I'm deeply looking forward to. It sounds like Ryan Poles and company are well behind Justin Fields and making him better. And, you know, him being our quarterback going forward. So I just wish that people would remember that. Like I said, I don't want people out there saying we're going to go 16-1 and we're going to roll, you know, run right through this whole thing or whatever. But to sit here and talk about how, like, we're just going to have to choke our way through this one until we can start buying some players with that $120 million in cap space that we're going to have next year. And our full slate of draft picks. So maybe Ryan Poles can work his magic in turning 7 picks next year into 14 somehow or something like that. So, you know, I don't want to look forward to 2023 because we got to get through 2022 in order to get there. So, anyway, back to the schedule. Like I said, home for the 49ers at Green Bay, Sunday Night Football, big early measuring stick for Matt Eberflus and company. Then we come back home week 3, noon on CBS, and host Lovey and the Houston Texans. That should be very interesting. It'll be a 2021 quarterback class matchup between Justin Fields and Davis Mills. And, you know, we'd love to see what the Lovey-led Texans will look like. You know, their last trip to Chicago in 2020, which started off with an 80-yard David Montgomery touchdown run, literally on the first play from scrimmage, didn't go so well. It was one of the few dominant defensive performances the Bears had in 2020. Deshaun Watson had statistically had a very good game, but we still won that game like 36-7 or something like that. So it didn't really do much for the Texans. Week 4, we head back out onto the road for the Giants in East Rutherford out there at the, what's that place called? Doesn't matter. Giants Stadium out there in New Jersey. Noon on Fox again. Then, I don't know. I think the NFL screwed this up, but apparently it's official. Instead of finishing at Minnesota week 18, we're going to Minnesota on October 9th, week number 5. Another noon Fox game. Bears at Vikings, for 6 of the last 7 years, the Bears have finished the year in Minnesota, 2015 being the lone exception. Actually, I have it written down. Hold on 1 second. Starting in 2014, the Bears have finished the year in Minnesota every year 2015 and 2020 were the exceptions. We were home for Detroit in 2015, home for Green Bay in 2020, but 2014, 16, 17, 18, and 2021 were all at Minnesota. So, yeah, the fact is we're not finishing in Minnesota for only the third time since 2014. That's crazy. But we'll get to what our week 18 matchup is here in just a moment. But we're going to Minnesota in October for the first time, I think, since like 2006. I mean, it's been a while. But it's also a good sign. The last time that we played early in the year in Minnesota, we went to the Super Bowl. So works for me while I take a drink. Thank you. All right. So after we go to Minnesota and play the Vikings in October, we go to Thursday Night Football. We come back home to take on the Washington Commanders. This will be on Amazon at 7 p.m. on the new Thursday night home. So no more Fox games with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Now it's Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon. So Thursday, the 13th of October, 5 months from today, as a matter of fact, 7:15 on Amazon. And I'm sure that, you know, for the local area that they'll have some kind of, or for the home markets, you should say, for Washington and Chicago, at least, you probably be able to watch that on, you know, ABC or something like that just to pick up the game because they do stuff like that. And the Bears have their little mini bye because we have 11 days because we're not playing on Sunday. We're playing on Monday, week number 7, our one and only Monday night appearance of the season at New England against the Patriots on ESPN. Talk about, speaking of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they are the brand new Monday night football team. And so they'll be calling the game in New England, Bears-Patriots. That's Mac Jones versus Justin Fields. And the Bears returning to New England for the first time since 2014 when the Bears, number one, got murdered by the Patriots. I don't remember which one came first. I think it was, yes, yeah, this one came because 2014 was the second and final year for Mark Trestman. And this was, if I'm remembering correctly, this game, the New England game, was the game before the bye week where we lost like, it was like 50 to 21 or something like that. Excuse me. 50 to 21. We had 2 weeks off. You know, we had our bye week. Came back on Sunday Night Football in Green Bay after the bye. And the score at halftime was 49 to nothing. 42. Excuse me. 42 to nothing en route to a 55 to 14 loss at the hands of Green Bay. And the fact that Mark Trestman came out to coach the second half of that game was a shock to literally everyone. Like everyone just like, they're just piling him onto the bus and sending him back to Chicago now to pack up his office and get the hell out because that's utterly embarrassing. You know, we give up 250 burgers in a row. Aaron Rodgers threw 6 touchdown passes in the first half of the game. It was just brutal to watch. But hopefully our return to New England will be a better one for us. Of course, that game in New England was capped off by the Bears being down like 35 points. And Lamar Houston, who is a defensive end and the big free agent signing for the Bears in that offseason, got his first sack of the year on Jimmy Garoppolo because Tom Brady was riding the bench for the second half because his team was up by 40 points. He sacks Jimmy Garoppolo, and in his sack celebration, blows out his ACL. He literally blew out his ACL, and he was done for the year after celebrating a sack in a meaningless sack at the end of a game where his defense had given up 50 points already in the ballgame. So, Yeah, celebrating the sack like he just shut him down on third and one and knocked him out of field goal range or something like that. No. It was some pointless sack at the end of a football game where his defense had already given up 50 points and the game was already lost. He's out there celebrating like he just shut him down and bought his ACL. Now, it's never funny when somebody gets hurt, and I wasn't laughing about him getting hurt. I was laughing at how he got hurt, because that's freaking hilarious, too. It's like, what are you celebrating? You know, just like any of my OGs out there, remember like back in the 90s, a kicker for the Cardinals, I believe, Martin Gramatica, always had this wild-ass celebration whenever he would kick a field goal or something like that. And one time he got so excited because he would do this like running thing. He would jump up in the air and do like this Superman fist pump and all that kind of stuff. Came down awkwardly on his leg, blew out his knee. And we didn't hear too much about him. Actually, I don't remember if it was Martin, because there were a couple of Gramaticas in the league at the time. Maybe it was Bill. Either way, a Gramatica blew out his knee celebrating a field goal to make it 3-0 in the first quarter. And he was done for the year after that. So, yeah. So hopefully our return to New England goes better than it did 8 years ago when we lost like 50-21 to Brady and the Patriots.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by ColorCast. Guys, ColorCast is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time, and it's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, and link your Twitter and join a group. Follow me at BTU Larry to be notified when my room goes live, and we'll be going live on ColorCast every Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Come and join the spiciest takes. Come find the new home for Club 34/7. This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or in social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in Sports Drink, spelled like sports drink but without the vowels. So S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let out the funk.
Then we come home on a quick return because we only get 6 days to get ready for the next game. We're actually, it's on the road again. My apologies. We go to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. And from here on out, guys, it's noon. Noon on Sunday, noon on Sunday, noon on Sunday, because all of our primetime games at week 7 are now over. So week 8 beyond, unless we get flexed into a different spot, whether it be a late afternoon game or we get flexed to Sunday Night Football at some point, it's all noon, either on Fox or CBS from here on out. So noon on Fox at Sunday, October 30th at the Cowboys. Then we come home, week number 9, the Miami Dolphins, noon on CBS. And the Dolphins is always tricky for the Bears, because you know how there's just that team out there that always seems to have your number no matter what. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad they are, doesn't matter. They always seem to be able to pull it out against you. The Dolphins appear to be one of those teams for the Bears. I have seen, you know, the Bears and the Dolphins don't get together very often. But when they do, I've seen the Bears lose that game more times than not. Obviously we're talking, you know, 85. They were the only team that beat the Bears that year. Excuse me. They were the only team to beat the Bears that year. I think back to 91. It was like a late November football game. The Bears were 11-5 that year. They went to the playoffs, lost to the Cowboys in the wild card round. But one of the losses that they suffered was this inexplicable overtime loss to the Dolphins in 91. Think back to 2006, the other year that we went to the Super Bowl. The Bears are 6-0. The Dolphins are 0-6. They come to Soldier Field. Not only did they beat us, they kicked our ass in that game. It was bad. So, yeah. You know, and then, of course, 2018, when the Bears went to Miami, you know, rough first half, but a 21-point third quarter, and somehow we couldn't hang on to win. Cody Parkey misses what could have been a game winner in overtime. The Dolphins get the ball back and kick the field goal to win. And this was the Bears' first. This was the first taste of the Bears not being prepared coming out of a bye. That shaky first half against the Dolphins under the Matt Nagy era. But the Dolphins always seem to have, because the Dolphins weren't a very good football team in 2018. And the Bears were on fire, having barely lost the opener to Green Bay in week one. We rattled off three straight victories, culminated with the Mitch Trubisky epiphany, where he threw six touchdown passes against the Buccaneers en route to a 48-10 victory. We have an early week five bye, and then week six we're in Miami, and we look as unprepared and unready as you can be. I know the heat and humidity had something to do with it while we were out there. I also blame the orange jerseys, because we were wearing orange jerseys in Miami that day, so as to not have to wear the dark jerseys in the heat and humidity of Florida. But nonetheless, we should have beaten that team, and we came away empty-handed. Tua and company, with a new head coach and whatnot, are coming into Chicago on November 6th, and we'll see how it all works out from there. Week number 10, only our third division game of the season and our first visit from the Detroit Lions in 2022. Another noon Fox game there. Very interested to see where these teams are at in week number 10. You know, with the improvements that the Lions are making to their football team. You know, they have Aiden Hutchinson, who many people consider to be the best player in this year's draft. They got him at number two when the Jaguars decided to go with Trayvon Young, number one overall. They traded up to get Jameson Williams from Alabama at number 12. You know, then they've been making moves to try to improve that football team. Brad Holmes, the new general manager of the Dolphins, the Detroit Lions, you know, in year number two of his regime, trying to put something together and to see where they'll be at, you know, week 10. I doubt very much they'll be 0-9 coming into this thing like they were last year, where they were just the worst football team. But we'll see what happens when the Lions come to town. The Bears at, you know, home for the Lions, that's usually a pretty good place to pencil in an easy W for the Bears. But we'll see where we're at in that time of year. And then two of the last road trips of the season are back-to-back. Week number 11, we're at Atlanta, taking on the Falcons, another Fox noon game. And then at the Jets, completing our New York trips this year, noon on Fox as well, on the 27th. You know, Atlanta is another team, which is also kind of becoming a running joke, because, you know, they're like the Atlanta Bears. Because not only is Phil Emery working there as an executive, that's where Ryan Pace landed when the Bears let him go. And they proceeded to bring in Nick Kwiatkowski, Jermaine Afidi, Rashad Coward ended up out there. God only knows why he's still playing football. But, you know, Cordell Patterson, he signed with them last season, had a fantastic year for them. Like, the Falcons used them, I think, the way Matt Nagy envisioned using Cordell Patterson when we signed him back in 2019. You know, just using him as the Swiss Army knife that he is, and turning him into one of the more productive weapons in all of the NFL last year. But Damian Williams ended up in Atlanta, and I'm sure there's a couple others that I'm forgetting. Tez Tabor is out there, and I'm sure there's one or two others that I'm not remembering right now. But it's like every Chicago Bears castoff that did not survive the transition to Ryan Poles seems to have found his way down to Atlanta with Ryan Pace, because Ryan Pace has his guys, and he's just going to have them out there. But no more Matt Ryan. He's been traded to Indianapolis. He'll be quarterbacking the Colts for at least this season. They signed Marcus Mariota. Right now, he's the starting quarterback. They drafted Desmond Ridder from the University of Cincinnati. You know, they've got two crazy offensive passing weapons in Drake London, who they drafted in the first round this year, and Kyle Pitts, who they drafted in the first round last year. As long as they can put some kind of defense together, they might have something working there in Atlanta. And by the time we see them week 11, which is November 20th, we should have some kind of answer as to what kind of football team the Falcons have shaped up to be. And then week 12 at the Jets. The Jets are one of the more intriguing teams coming into 2022. It's year two for Robert Saleh. They had an outstanding draft where they basically got, like, in their first four picks, they got like the best player at his position in their, you know, in their respective spots. They got Sauce Gardner. They had three first round picks. They got Sauce Gardner. They drafted defensive end from Florida State, whose name is eluding me right now. They got him at like 26 when he was like the night. Like, I was watching the draft on the NFL Network. Daniel Jeremiah could not stop repeating the fact that this guy was like his number nine prospect, and he was on the board until the Jets traded back in to the first round at 26 to take him. And there was another player that they drafted. Actually, I think I have it in here. I think I have the draft in my book here. Or did I throw those out? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I got rid of those notes. Yeah, those are gone. But anyway, and then they drafted Breece Hall, something like that, running back from Iowa State, who was the number one rated running back, first one off the board when they picked in the early second round. So you add that to what they were able to pick up in free agency, year two of Zach Wilson, who was the number two overall pick last year. And if it works, if it clicks, if it comes together, the Jets really might be on to something. Will they be able to challenge the Bills? I don't know if they'll be able to do it this year, but if it clicks, they're on the right path. And that's kind of always been the thing with the Jets, is that they can make a lot of pretty moves and do some impressive looking things, but it's never translated into wins on the field. They're a perennial loser, aside from like the first 2 years of the Rex Ryan era where they went to back-to-back AFC championship games. Their success has not been longstanding. So especially since then, they've lost a hell of a lot more football games than they've won in that time period. And you know, they're going to see if what they did is going to translate into some wins, or at least some more competition, being more competitive, and you know, not ending up in the top five of the draft for the third year in a row. And then the last game before the bye, it's a home game, Sunday, December 4th, home, close out the series with the Packers, noon on Fox. You know, this will be another big game. Who knows what this will mean to either team at this point in the year, but it'll be the game before the bye. So it's either going to, in my opinion, just looking at this and not having a bye till week 14, which is, I think, pretty sure the last week that anyone can have a bye week. How banged up will the Bears be? How desperate will we be for this bye week? I mean, granted, we get the mini bye about 7 weeks earlier after the Commanders game. From week six into week seven, we got 11 days between playing on Thursday night before we play again on Monday night football on the 24th. But, you know, it's not the same as having that whole week to yourself. And, you know, because you spend a lot of that time preparing for the next game. So, you know, will the Bears be in a position that this is a great time for them to take a week off and recharge to get ready for the stretch run? Or, you know, will we be trying out new lineups to see what we got to get ready for 2023 kind of thing? You know, at this point in the season, that's not a foregone conclusion. So we have our week 14 bye. And then, like I said, so what I said before earlier, Green Bay is the first game of December. Then we have a bye week. And then to close out December, we have two home games. Home for the Eagles, home for the Bills. Really looking forward to that one. But those are the four games or the 4 weeks of December. No road games in December. And I believe I heard today on a podcast that it's the first time since like 1964 that the Bears had no road games in December. So that was a hell of a long time ago that this phenomenon took place for the Bears in their schedule. And so, like I said, we're home for Green Bay. We got to buy week 14. And then week 15, Sunday the 18th of December, home for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's noon on Fox. And then because Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, pretty much the entire NFL is playing on Saturday, Christmas Eve, the 24th. That includes our beloved Chicago Bears with their home game against the Bills on Saturday. They're treating Christmas like Thanksgiving, where there's three games on Thanksgiving Day, one early game, one late game, and one night game. When I was looking at the schedule yesterday, I don't remember who those games were off the top of my head, but that's how it was. And then there's a Monday night game as well. So yeah. But that game against the Eagles, year two for Nick Sirianni, they managed to make it to the playoffs last year. They traded for A.J. Brown on draft day. They've made some really strong draft picks as well. Year two under Jalen Hurts. They did not, you know, try to draft a quarterback or trade for one or anything like that. It's Jalen Hurts' team, so they went out and got him some weapons and see where, you know. And with the thing about the NFC East is that I think since we did the realignment back in 2002 when it became four divisions in each conference, no one in the NFC East has won back-to-back divisions. I actually think the Eagles were the last to do it in like 2003, 2004, something like that. It's been a really long time since it happened. The Cowboys won it last year in 2021 at 12-5. And if history holds, it's somebody else's turn to win the division. And a lot of people feel like the Eagles might be the team that's in the best position to pull that off. So time will tell if that's actually true. And with this being a Week 15 ball game between the Bears and the Eagles could be gearing up for their next playoff run. They were a one-and-done team that went out pretty easily against the Buccaneers in the wild card round last year. But, you know, looking to use that experience to get themselves back in there, because this was a team that wasn't supposed to make playoffs last year, and they got in on the back end as the 7 seed last year. So they're looking to improve upon that and feel like they're in a good position to take the division this year, especially if history holds in the NFC East and there's a brand new champion again this year. And then the Buffalo Bills, to me, that's a late season measuring stick ball game. We talked at the top of the schedule where obviously the 49ers being you know, one of the top teams in the conference last year, but week two being against the Packers, it's on the road, it's Sunday Night Football, it's national television. You know, how will Eberflus get his team prepared to take on that football game? You know, will we be competitive with the Packers for a change as opposed to just rolling over? If you guys, you know, were listening to the Retro Rewind episodes, the one I did with Emery Moorhead and then the other one I did with Evan Western for the 86 games and the 89 game, was, you know, this was a time in the series where the Bears were the Packers and the Packers were the Bears as far as like where they are today. The Bears were the dominant team that was always in the mix in the NFC. They always won the division. It was just a matter of how deep into the playoffs they would go, just like it is right now with the Packers. And the Packers were the Bears in the fact that, yeah, maybe we might have a decent season every once in a while, but for the most part, we're not a very good football team, and we sure as hell don't have a shot as hell in hell in this series. However, knowing that, the Packers never played like that. And that was the thing that I admired going back and watching those old games, was that the Packers knew they weren't as good, especially that game in 86. The Bears were 10-2. The Packers were 2-10. They know they don't have a snowball's chance in hell as far as talent-wise winning this football game. This is the defending world champions. They're playing as well, if not better, than they played the year before when they went 15-1 and won the whole damn thing. But they're going to go in there and they're going to hit them in the mouth. They're going to make the Bears beat them instead of rolling over and letting the Bears do their thing, which is sadly how I feel the Bears have been, especially those last 3 years under Matt Nagy, where, you know, the Packers just impose their will and we roll over and let them do whatever they're going to do and walk away with easy victories and put, you know, Aaron Rodgers in a position to scream at Bear fans in Soldier Field that I own you. And Matt Nagy, you know, not basically Matt Nagy being okay with it. Not going to let him do anything. Not going to say anything about it. Not going to take umbrage with it, even in press conferences afterwards. Basically like, well, he's not lying. It's like, it doesn't matter if he's lying. That should be offensive to you. You should be upset that he would have the nerve to do that in your own building. I am very much hoping that under Matt Eberflus, that is a thing of the past. This cockiness and everything that you see kind of take the Packers over when they're playing the Bears. I want that to go away. You know, I want this to be a competitive game. I mean, you guys have heard me say this 1,000 times in the last handful of years, but the Bears and the Packers are rivals, but it hasn't been a rivalry for such a long time. I know that it's going to be a while before we can overtake this series and be the dominant team in the series again. I just want to see our Bears today played like those Packers did back then. We know we're not as good a football team as them, but we're not going to, you're not going to win just because you showed up. You're going to have to win by beating us. You're going to have to earn every yard. You're going to have to earn every point, and we're going to make you pay for it in the process. That's the attitude that those Packers had then. That's the attitude I want our Bears to have now, win or lose against these Packers. I don't want them walking away like, yeah, we won, because of course it's we're the Packers and they're the Bears, so we won. No, no. It would be like, man, that was a fight. I don't want to see those guys again. So when they come walking into Soldier Field in week number 13, I want them to still be nursing the bruises from week number 2. You know, I want them to be carrying scars from that game and, you know, come in a little bit less cocky and a little bit more cautious and see if we can't catch them with their pants down. And the Bills week number 16 here, like I said, is like another measuring stick, because this is, you know, if many people have their way, this is going to be the AFC champion this year. They're in a spot to do that. Can Cincinnati repeat? Can Kansas City rebound, or will Buffalo just continue on the trajectory that they were on when they lost that game to Kansas City in the division? One of the greatest playoff games I have ever seen last year. So, you know, can they build upon that? Can they, you know, did they find their missing pieces in the offseason? Will Von Miller help them get after Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the playoffs this year? And can they bridge the gap between the divisional round and the Super Bowl and get to Glendale, Arizona this year and play for the whole deal. Where we are and how we play against the Bills will say a lot about the Bears and who we could be going into 2023. And then finally, week number 17, our last road game of the season, we go to Detroit to close out the series with them, noon on Fox. And then week 18, we return home. For the first time in, let me see, I wrote it down. First time since, well, 2020, we played at Green Bay at home. But against the Vikings, I went all the way back to 2010. In 2010, 11, and 12, we were on the road. Home in 2013, which I don't want to talk about what happened week 17 in 2013. But home for 2013, away in 2014. Home in 2015, away in 2016, 17, 18, and 19, before being home for the Packers in 2020. Oh, by the way, all of those road games in, from 2014 were against the Vikings. So for only the, let's see, one, two, three, only for the fourth time since 2010 will the Bears be finishing the season at home. And the first time since God knows when, that game will be against the Vikings. Because the other home games since 2010 were against the Packers and the Lions. Ever since, I think, was it 2008, 2009, something like that, when Goodell started making sure that every last game of the season was a divisional game. But, yeah, we're usually in Minnesota week 17, week 18, closing out the year. This year, we're going to be in Chicago, in Soldier Field, in the elements, playing the Vikings outdoors. How's that going to go? Looking forward to it, though. Looking forward to it for sure. But that's how we finish it up at home against the Vikings. Seventh time in nine seasons the Bears are playing Minnesota the last week of the season. Only the first time at home. You know, and like I said, only the fourth time since 2010 the Bears finished season at home. So we start at home and we finish at home. Can't remember when was the last time we did that. So, but recap once again, eighth easiest schedule in the NFL. No road games in December. Three primetime games all before our eight, all before week number eight. And it's the AFC East, NFC East, San Francisco, Houston, and Atlanta, which are same place opponents, and our NFC North opponents times two. There you have it, folks. There's the 2022 schedule. Like I said, I'm not going to do wins and losses. It's just too early for that. There's so much we don't know about this team. What's the offensive line going to look like? Hell, the guy who might be starting on, you know, a guy who could be starting on the offensive line might not even be on the team right now, let alone, you know, emerging from the people that we drafted or signed thus far. Maybe to be another Jason Peters guy that we pull off the street in training camp. And, hell, there's this veteran guard that needed a job. Oh, he's coming in and he's going to be the starting right guard for the Bears or something like that. So there's so much we don't know. And, you know, like, I know that I said I'd probably make some try to record prediction going into the preseason. I'm actually going to have to see the Bears play a little bit. I know the preseason doesn't mean much, but I got to see what this team looks like in pads and live action before I can start talking about wins and losses. So, anyway, I think that's going to do it for me tonight, guys. I really appreciate you guys hanging out, and we'll be back. Hopefully next week. I got Jeremy Reisman on the hook. He wants to do a Retro Rewind episode with me. We're kind of debating on which one, which game between the Bears and the Lions that we want to go to and look back on, see what we can do at that point. But, you know, it won't be long now. I'm working the phones and the emails and the DMs and whatnot, setting up my guests for our opponent preview series. That'll either be at the end of this month or the beginning of June to get us ready to kind of barrel our way through the back end of this off season here to make our way to the preseason and training camp to get ready for the 2022 campaign. This is kind of like day one of 2022. Now that the schedule is out and it's official and we know the road from week one to week 18, now the 2022 season is real. Like, all this off-season stuff and all that kind of stuff was great getting us ready for all of this. But now that the schedule is out, the schedule is coming. The season is coming. It's happening. I can't wait. I wish that I would actually have done the math to find out how many days between now and week one on September 11th. But we'll just have to leave that up to maybe some other time. Anyway, guys, keep the eyes on the social media. At BTU underscore Larry on Instagram and on Twitter. You can always join the Facebook group at Bears Talk Underground on Facebook. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Until then, my name is Larry D. We'll see you next time.